Mike's in studio with us, and we were just talking during the break that I asked him. I said, "Mike, if the city of Lansing said, here's $5 million, we'll settle. Let's make this thing go away. What would you and your client say?" And Mike said,
"Well, thank you, my client. Of course, the only thing that you can do when you file suit is for money. But the second, and I think as equally as important, would be the investigation and the conclusion of what really happened. I think everyone deserves to know, and I don't think this case is going to go away until we really get a review of what's happening. Now, when you sue someone, you get to do an investigation called discovery. You get to do what's called interrogatories, request to produce. That's written discovery. That's where I get to ask the police officer as well as the city questions, and I want to know about his background, history, and training. I want to know about the police officer's protocol for these types of circumstances. Once we get all that information, then we'll do his deposition as well as the deposition of any and all witnesses. At that point, then we provide the information to experts, ballistics experts, and other folks to really try to tell us what happened. Again, our biggest concern is trying to determine how far away Officer Rendon was when he shot. I think the police report indicates he was within a close range. We want to make sure and verify. Of course, if the officer was 6 to 8 feet away when he shot, then that would really put into question the issue of whether or not he was really in fear for his life.
So what you're saying is that you wouldn't settle just for the money. The family wants more information about what happened.
That's correct. And as any spokesman for any family, I've got to say the decision is theirs. You know, I can't sit here and tell you unilaterally what they would decide.
Well, you can advise them.
Oh, that's right. But I do know that it's very important for the mother to find out what happened. And I can't say what she would do or not with such an offer.
Do we know why Darnisha was in that bank?
My understanding is, and this is what makes the case difficult, is that she had broken in. You know, it was about 3:30 in the morning. A window was broken in. Now, what's unusual is that nowhere in the police report did I hear mention that she had an accomplice. Now, I got the most recent police report from a FOIA request from the Michigan State Police. Now, I'm thumbing through there, and to my surprise, I see what looks like a still shot of the video that night, and there's two African-American women in there. And I didn't know that until I saw it. So there's still a lot of unanswered questions in this case.
And as far as the Lansing Police Department is concerned, have you requested that this information be released, and what has been their response?
Sure. I have two FOIA requests out, one to the prosecutor and then one to the Michigan State Police. I've got most of the information I needed. I do believe that I've not been allowed to inspect the knife. And I'm chasing around the statement of Officer Julian Johnson, used to be Colby. Because whenever you listen to somebody's statement, it's a lot different than what's reported by the officer who investigated, and I found that to be true in other cases. So there's always a different angle if you listen to what they had to say versus what's reported. And that's why I think getting Officer Julian Johnson's statement is going to be so important.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but hasn't the Michigan State Police and the prosecutor's office found that Brian Rendon acted within a proper perspective?
Right. And again, but we're comparing apples and oranges. That was on a criminal review, which, of course, the evidence there is beyond a reasonable doubt. And I would call that somewhere between 90 to 95% proof that you need to support your case. With a civil case, it's the preponderance of the evidence. It's 51%. All I have to do is prove that more likely than not, my case can be supported.
And another story that we have covered extensively is the Enbridge oil spill on the Kalamazoo River. And from what I understand, you are representing a mobile home park that has been affected by this. Tell us about your involvement and tell us your perspective of that story.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I represent 81 people in a case against Enbridge Oil. You know, there was a big crude oil release on the Kalamazoo River last year of about 1 million gallons of crude oil. I was retained by a group in a mobile home park called Baker Estates, and we had filed suit about 3 months after the release, and we're filing suit for what we call short-term exposure damage. So with crude oil has about 100 different compounds, of which some of the most terrible are xylene, toluene, and benzene. and there were testing. This mobile home park was in such a geographic area that it caused the air to stagnate. So they had one of the largest amounts of exposure. So we're filing suit for everybody from elderly to the young for the short-term exposure limits. Unfortunately, in Michigan, you can't sue for medical monitoring or long-term because of that case with Dow Oil, where medical monitoring is supposed to be left up to the state, but of course the state doesn't have the money to do it. So.
Well, Enbridge has said, you know what, whatever people need, we're going to give them. However we can compensate them, we will, within reason. Do you find them upholding that statement?
Well, I have experience from dealing with these oil companies in Texas, and I will tell you that Enbridge has been more generous than most. You know, they came out there and started to help, where many times in Texas, people were just left on their own and left to sue. Enbridge has assisted and helped some, but I think like any company, they're going to be smart, and people are going to have to prove their injuries and damages. I mean, for people to come out of the woodworks asking for money, they're just not going to hand it over, and you have to be able to prove your case, prove that your clients were exposed, prove that they went to the doctor, and that they suffered some exposure damage.
What do your clients want?
Number one, they want to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I don't know if you know it, but Enbridge owns and controls about 80-90% of all the oil flow, or controls 80%, 90% of the oil flow underground in the United States. They, number one, want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, and there is a law in Michigan that allows anyone to have standing to petition the court for some type of superintending control over the pipeline and the protocol for it. So we're hoping to get some control that way. But, of course, these people are on the low end of the economic level. They just had a tornado come through. They would love Enbridge to buy them out, to move them out, and to pay them for so that they can move on with their life.
You've been involved in another high-profile case in the area, too, haven't you?
Probably several. Which one are you referring
to? Well, why don't you talk about them all, the ones that we had talked about on the phone.
Okay. The one that I think was most moving was the one for Matthew Macon, when I represented the gentleman that was alleged to have killed nine women and assaulted several others. So that was a very serious case, and because of confidentiality, I can't discuss the ins and outs of it. But there were, I think after the trial was over with, there were still left some unanswered questions.
What?
Well, was there an accomplice? The procedure and protocol of the police, I think that would be a whole show to get into, and I'd really like to study my notes because that's some very serious allegations to go through.
What are your thoughts on the outcome of that case?
Well, again, being his client, I would have to maintain his innocence. Or being his attorney, I have to maintain his innocence. I think with the publicity on the case, it was a very difficult case. And I know the judge did everything he could to make sure that that didn't interfere with the case. But I don't see how that was could not have been a factor. I think everybody heard what was going on the summer of murder of 08.
And what other cases did you work on?
Let's see. I've been appointed by the county to represent the man who was charged with killing his son. That's the one with Dunnings came on TV and almost cried, saying it was the worst case that he's ever seen. I represented a more interesting case was a group of Indians at the Tuscarora Reservation in New York that's right around Niagara Falls and just upriver of Love Canal. Very contaminated area. I stayed on the reservation for about 6 to 9 months developing the case. Tremendous amount of toxins and everything else dumped there, everything from atomic waste and slag to most current dumpings from some of the companies around the reservation. It was very interesting to live with those folks, and you learn a different way. I don't know how high-profile case that was. That was in New York. And
that seemed to affect you quite a bit, just talking about
that. It was a difficult case because I lived with them, and what I did was I went around and contractually agreed with every individual member of the reservation. But when we got to federal court and we filed court, I had the chiefs intervene, saying that there is a direct sovereignty with a reservation, and the only people who can deal with the federal government would be the chiefs. So I had them take over the case. They took over the case, and they made quite a bit of money. So unfortunately, most of the money is always kept by the chiefs in those situations. So you have chiefs living in mansions and all the rest of the reservation just living in poor shacks. And that's why I was so upset, because the case was, I felt stolen from under me, but they had sovereignty and a direct right to take over the case.
Michael Bryant is the Okemos attorney representing Mary Rush, the mother of Denisha Clay, in a lawsuit against a Lansing police officer in the city of Lansing. Mike, we'll stay in touch. Appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate it.